This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. We are live Boomer Jacks at Western Center, where veterans eat free. Salute to all the veterans out there in our listening audience, including the one back in the Pimp Cup at Master Control 75 and 52. That is right, Lucius Alexander, the man who signed up for the Navy post 9/11. He was like, to hell with this. I'm going to go do something about this. So he did. And we salute you, Lucius. Thank you so much for your hard work and your sacrifices for our country. All right.
And Duncanville versus South Grand Prairie Friday night. Round one of the playoffs.
Holy cow. That's a massive tilt to get things started.
Big G-Bag game there. This is the Friday night G-Bag high school special.
Yes, sir. Put that on the internet. All right, let's do some audio. Some post-game locker room audio here. The Cowboys were over there at AT&T Stadium in the locker room being asked questions. Where did it all go wrong? You had so many yards, so many first downs, 24 points, and the other team had 28. It actually felt like they scored 45 because of how often they were just, you know, running it right down your throats. You never even made Kirk Cousins have to try. He was just like, I'm good. Well, I'll just keep giving it to this guy or that guy. And they're going to bust your ass.
At one point in the fourth quarter, I couldn't remember if we'd made them punt or not in the game. And we did. They punted four times.
The third possession.
I mean, one of the punts doesn't really count. It's at the end where they're just like, make them use their three timeouts. But at some point, like earlier, mid through the fourth, they're like, have we even made them punt? Because I couldn't even remember punting.
Okay.
That is the other side of this, just really quickly.
Yeah.
The Vikings are good.
Yeah.
The Vikings are good.
Yeah.
And we've said this before about games. There are plenty of ways you could have lost to the Vikings and there would have been no shame in it. The way you did it is not okay.
Yeah, it gives you very little faith for what's going to happen.
Just think how many points our defense would give up if we played Devontae Adams and Adam Thielen and Drew Brees this year.
Yeah, that's the other thing, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on. Do the coaches feel like if the other team is lacking an offensive weapon, they can just go super conservative?
Oh, I totally buy it.
I
think that's why you tried a 57-yard field goal. I think that's why you punted on the next possession, and I think that's maddening. That felt like Jason Garrett entered that game thinking if he scored 20 points, he'd win that game.
Yeah.
When all you have to do is look at how the NFL is now, you're a 28-point-per-game team. The Vikings are a 26. So your goal is get to 30. You should come into the football game and say, all right, we're going to go get 30 points. How are we going to do it?
Yeah.
Not how are we going to get to 9 and can we hold them to 3?
Your quarterback's putting on a show. You can protect him. He has weapons. Go dice the league up.
Yep.
Light the league on fire. Carry a torch into that stadium and be like, hey, guess what? I got these dudes who are damn firecrackers. They're about to start jumping all over the place on you. Instead, it's like, oh, okay, I wasn't that good of a quarterback and I had to score 17 points to win. So let's play that kind of a game and keep our fingers crossed that a good defense shows up. Ken Norton ain't walking through that door. Deion Sanders ain't walking through that door.
Charles Haley does sometimes walk through the door, but nobody wants him there.
He's got a bad limp. He's old. Okay, how about Leighton Vander Esch? Here's cut number 18 as our Chris Arnold was working the Cowboys locker room. Here's Leighton Vander Esch with CA.
Was Cook the best back you guys have faced this season so far?
He's a dang good running back, and he's fun to play against. He's got burst. He's got speed. He can outrun you when he gets the edge. And he's physical, and he's got a good base. He's hard to tackle. So,
Was there a point in the game that you thought anything turned, or was it just back and forth the whole night?
No, it was back and forth the whole night. We knew that we just need to keep fighting. And, I mean, like I said, they got more than we got more.
Well, it turned when Quinn got the sack, and then Tank made the play on the next third down. You had back-to-back possessions where you actually got stops, and then you were scoring touchdowns, but then y'all couldn't stop them. Not at the end of the half, not to start the second half. And, man, he's talking about Dalvin Cook there. That guy is incredible. You know, I know you warned us about him, Jeff, but you talk about the balance and the power. You can't knock him down with one dude.
It's not even close who's a better running back. I know they exchanged jerseys, and Dalvin Cook was very nice to Zeke in the postgame show. Zeke is not on the level of the top 5 to 8 running backs in the NFL. Go ahead.
I agree with that. No, I agree. Dalvin Cook is a better runner than Zeke right now.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
For sure.
Anything to add before we do a little bit more audio?
And I wouldn't pay Cook either.
Yeah, I mean.
Just keep picking Alexander Madison's. They're running backs. There's lots of guys that can run hard.
Yeah, that guy looked good too. How about some Xavier Woods here with Chris Arnold, Cowboys postgame locker room?
Xavier, can you talk about these Minnesota Vikings? Because they seem to have everything that they said they had, but you guys did slow them down. It's going back and forth, though.
We just didn't stop the run today. They was gashing us. Kind of had the feel of last year against the Rams in the playoffs. Just couldn't stop the run, and the run just opens up everything else, the play action pass. It starts with the run, so we got to stop that. We had to stop that, and we did.
You feel like you guys were pretty effective against Cousins. You did get some sacks in there.
We really didn't get the opportunity to make him take over the game. Like I said, they was running the ball down our throat, and play action pass was coming alive. We should have got down some of those third downs. We just didn't do our job today.
How hard will it be to shake this one?
A 24-hour rule. Once we look at the film, it'll be over and done with. On to the next one.
That's one that you can remember because you'll just keep looking at the film on 24 and how pathetic he is at playing cornerback in the NFL. Because I get it. Yes, they ran good. And Chido Awuzie is a bust of a second-round pick who should not be on the field. He should be a fourth or fifth cornerback in the NFL. We can make fun of all the other cornerbacks that we go against and say they stink. Our guy is always kind of close and makes zero plays in his whole NFL life.
I mean, he had some good games last year. This is a year of regression for Chido.
Yeah.
They were, because like Dak was digging the Cowboys out of holes. Nobody's going to mention this much, but Kirk Cousins was doing the same thing for Minnesota because all their runs weren't successful. He went 8-14 on third down. He had to convert a bunch too.
He found 24.
Yes, he did. When it was time to convert, well, a couple of times he found 31 because I mentioned this leading up to the game. That's not the matchup you want for Byron Jones.
Oh, yeah.
You want Byron to cover Michael Thomas. Yeah. You don't want him covering Stephon Diggs. When they needed 5 yards, it was a little in-and-out wiggle route. It was Stephon Diggs could get open on Byron, and you could convert on Cheeto whenever you needed to.
Well, on the defense, you know, it was the Colts game last year, Week 15, then the Rams game, and then this year the Saints game, the Packers game, and this game. So it's about half the time where this run defense is just getting steamrolled.
Well, what we did is this offseason – and I'm guilty of this, so I'll go Ken Carmine here. If you want to say something to me about these Cowboy linebackers, I'll take it.
You're going to lay there and take it.
I'll lay there and take it. We crowned them. Like Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch were going to be the best linebacker core in the league. Do you know who's twice as good? Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr.
Not even close.
Eric Kendricks is a monster. They couldn't stop him from getting involved in the run game to save their lives. And Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch couldn't make a blocker miss to save their
lives.
And
Sean Lee was bad, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Sean Lee got killed by Kyle Rudolph for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
One of them, and here's the thing. One of them was, that's football. One of them was Kyle Rudolph runs up the field and then runs to his left, pushes off a little bit, gets open. You can't catch up. It's a touchdown. If they don't call that, you tried, and it's a touchdown. That happens. But to consistently not be able to beat offensive linemen to the spot in the run game, and this is on Malik Collins and Antoine Woods too. You're not doing your job stopping those guys from getting to your linebackers. They're weak. They're weak in the middle. And if you're going to be weak up the middle, that's a dangerous plan in football.
Okay, we're live at Boomer Jacks here on Fossil Bluff Drive, Western Center in Fort Worth. How about some Ezekiel Elliott audio here with CA postgame?
Zeke, this is a tough loss tonight. I know nobody in this locker room is very happy right now. Could you talk about what you guys are thinking about coming into this locker room after this tough loss?
Definitely a tough loss. They're a really good football team. Started slow. We battled back and gave ourselves a chance and we didn't get the job done.
To go straight to the point, a lot of people are looking at that third down play. Could you describe the play and what was called and what you were trying to accomplish trying to get this game in the Cowboys' favor at the end there?
It's just RPO. It was a good read. Really wasn't anywhere to go.
Was this one of the toughest defenses you faced this season, run defenses?
I think they're definitely one of the best defenses we played this season. I mean, definitely run defense. They did a great job just neutralizing our run and just really giving us nowhere all day to run the ball.
And one final thing from me. Could you talk about Amari's game? I know he's not happy with the loss, but he was excellent out there.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys, all the receivers in Dak, they definitely had a great outing. They couldn't stop the pass. They definitely did great tonight.
Unless they threw to you.
Cooper's making an argument for best receiver in football. I'll put that out there. 11 catches, 147. Zeke had 20 carries for 47 yards. The longest for him was 6. The longest of the game didn't belong to him because once they decided to run the football with a lot of creativity, and Tavon Austin got 7 yards.
Here's another thing about Zeke. Zeke is capable of catching the football. He has a few drops this year. But I think to the crowd that wants to see, well, if you split them out, that's a mismatch. It's not. That last play, the 4th and 5, when they decided that what they wanted to do was that the best look was the left side because you had man coverage, you had Eric Kendricks covering Ezekiel Elliott in the slot. That is a mismatch in favor of Eric Kendricks.
No, really.
Zeke is not that sort of mover. Like, he's not Alvin Kamara and he's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not that sort of guy that if you have an athletic linebacker that it's a physical mismatch. For a lot of running backs, it is. He's not that guy.
He's becoming a runner.
He's a runner.
I mean, the recovery of the linebacker was great. I thought Dak was under a little bit of pressure and thought he had something about halfway through throwing it. He probably thought, wait, this is not open anymore.
It's unfortunate because I think on every play in the NFL as a quarterback, sure, you'd like to have time to read all the way across the field. But you line up and you know all the routes and you look at the defense and you decide what is my best look side. And Dak decided the best look side is the left. And watching the route combination, I'm sure he assumed in man coverage, if I've got a guy running a guy off and my back running an out route, I should be able to get it there.
Yeah, but especially if there was some kind of a rub route in there, which there
right.
wasn't.
But
yeah.
You had an incredible Pro Bowl, all-pro type linebacker covering a running back who's not a receiver, and so he covered him.
All right, good stuff there as we're going over some Cowboys post-game locker room audio. Let's go to Gallup here. He had a great game. Cowboys almost had 3 receivers with 100 yards. But here was Fish with Michael Gallup. Here we go.
Is this one of those deals maybe where you kind of feel like you just ran out of time? You could have used one more possession, one more drive, one more try.
I mean, I think anybody would say that. But, we had a little bit more time. We probably could have done something, could have changed, a different play call if we had more time. So, it is what it is.
Does it help at all that that's a quality team and they think they're the same as you, a deep roster and playoff type team?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what you mean help?
That
help us?
That you lost to a contender. Oh. Make any difference?
Well, I mean, not really. Taking an L sucks. Nobody want to take no L. But it's a good squad over there. I know that. They play hard, but we just got to come back and get it back next week.
No, it's not better because, you know what, that's a better team that humiliated you. I would much rather beat a bad team, but to lose to a team, not only do you take the loss, but now you got to think, are we even on that level?
I will say the rest of the season, and I'll be wrong, I won't pick them all right. If the team is considered worse than us and much worse, I will pick us to win. If they're considered similar to us or better, it's an automatic loss because pretty much, that's the Cowboys 2019. If you think that team is close to the Cowboys and it could be a tough game to pick, we're going to lose. We've lost all of them so far to those teams.
They can't even see how their penchant for running so much is daring teams to gamble just to play the run. They're coming after the run on first down, and you're reinforcing it time and time again.
And now I think, so this is the most fair I can be, like leaning towards anything other than super negativity. The most fair you can be to the Cowboys is say, you know what? You still have a shot to win the NFC East, maybe even a good shot. But as of today, if somebody says, tell me why you're a good team, you don't have an answer. Your only wins this year are the Miami Dolphins and the NFC East. Mm. That's it. Every team that's been okay, that was what that game was about. If you beat the Vikings, you say, well, we've taken care of business in the division. Here we are. This team's going to be a playoff team, and we beat them. But right now, you're the team that's beat the Dolphins and the East.
So how close would the front office be to making a coaching decision? Has it been decided? What is in the owner's mind? Let's go back into the Cowboys locker room where Jerry Jones was hosting a ganger, and Fish was there to capture the scene.
I want to give Minnesota, Mike Zimmer, give their organization a lot of credit. They came out here tonight and they took it to us, and we had a difficult time getting them off the field in terms of their offense. But to our credit, I really was impressed with the way we came back in there and got back to where we could win a ball game that was really kind of in doubt. So real disappointing for these guys, and here disappointing for our coaches, but but I can't say enough about how well Zim had their team coached up.
Okay, that's good stuff, right? This disappointed for our coaches really stuck out to me.
Now, this happened last year, too, and this is when my eyebrows start going up, and I'm now convinced 100%, unless this season ends in an NFC title game, which if you think that's going to happen, more power to you. I have no idea what you're basing that on. This is it for Garrett. He will not be the coach next year because Jerry's back to talking about how good the other coaches are.
Yeah.
Not that they beat us, but how good the other coaches are.
It'd be really, really interesting if they get to the divisional round and something really unlucky happens, because I feel like Jerry wants Jason to have the amount of success so bad that allows Jerry to keep Jason around for the rest of his career. So he's looking at it like,
it's been a decade, man.
I know.
You gave the guy a decade.
I know.
You gave him.
What's one more,
you
guys?
Gave him 4 to 6 more years than at least 90% of owners would have given him.
Yeah.
I mean, if we let him go, he's going to be a head coach for another team. We can't do it, guys.
I just remember Jerry talking about how betrayed he felt by Jimmy Johnson. You get one of these big ego guys in here, and he wants to do things his way. You go nose to nose with him.
Here's where I want to take that just really quickly.
Okay, sure. I love it.
Really quickly.
Uh-huh.
Let's think about the NFL today and the teams that have first-year head coaches. You think the Packers are happy?
Yeah.
They grabbed the offensive coordinator from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right? Arizona. Do you think they're upset with the early return so far?
No.
I think Arizona's happy with what they're getting so far with a bad team.
Right. What happens when you have a little success, though? Now that young guy is now accomplished, and now he's on SportsCenter interviews and on late night, and now he's like, I'm the man. And Jerry doesn't want to have to interact with that size of an ego. He wants the Buddhist head coach, Jason Garrett, who's...
I guess I welcome seeing that happen. Because I think there's a lot of guys, like, it's like, oh, no, so-and-so wouldn't... Like, Lincoln Riley, he's not going to leave OU to come coach for Jerry Jones. He's not. But I promise you, there's 8 good coordinator names out there that no one's talking about yet that would love to come be the head coach of the Cowboys. They'd love it.
I totally agree. I just can't say 100%. Division round, I'm probably at 80% out. But there's still this 20% over here that I'm horrified about.
I think he's lost a few years on that extension coming this offseason.
It's only going to be a 2 or 3 year deal. Yep.
We are live at Boomer Jack's Western Center here in Fort Worth. We do have Tolo decals, 6701 Fossil Bluff Drive. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Veterans eat free. Salute to you. Come on by for Veterans Day. Have a party. Fish is next in the nation. Welcome back. We're live at Boomer Jack's here, Western Center in Fort Worth. And come on by. Seeing a lot of Tolos at the break. It's nice to meet you. And we have a Tolo back window decal for you. It's time to continue to survey the damage of a Cowboys defeat, 28-24 in Minnesota. And Mike Fisher set to join us against Minnesota, not in Minnesota. It feels like Minnesota today, though. Holy cow, yes. It got cold. This morning it was 62 degrees when I dropped off Abby at school.
I took the dog for a walk at 10 a.m., and I put on a sweater. I was like, I probably didn't need to wear this. 30 minutes later, I had to go to the grocery store. I was like, geez, it's cold out. Like, the wind started blowing 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, so it's legit out there. If you've been indoors all day, be prepared when you get out to the out of work and you head out to the car. Let's talk with AdFish Sports on Twitter. Those segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, frankelfirm.com. You might need that with the cold, wet weather all around us. Okay, Fish, how you doing, man? Tell us all about it.
Mike Bassick?
Yeah, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, is it your birthday?
It is.
Man, what terrible day for the Cowboys to have done this to you.
That's all right. The Mavericks play tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, Mavericks at Boston. yeah, tell me, General, if you agree with this in your dealings with the public. I think Cowboys Nation is reeling. I think we're Jerry last night talked about how what a setback this is, how much this hurts. Then he goes, I just hope it isn't terminal. Like, he's a doctor with a dying patient. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, I think it is terminal for this year if they're going to come to the field with that defense and that game plan consistently. They've gotten enough scares throughout the first 8 games that going into game 9, they should have had their best effort both with the passion and energy, but then also intellectually when it comes to the game plan. And it's clear they don't believe anything's broken and needed to change. So they're going to keep doing what they do, and it's just going to be a matter of who all gets fired at the end of the year.
And see, we're going to see, And I don't. If you're a Cowboy fan that wants to hang on to the possibility that Gavin Dawson's wrong, I encourage that. There's nothing wrong with that. But
hell, I'm going to watch and cheer for them, and if they go on a magical Super run, that would be great. But what over the last decade has made you believe that's possible?
Well, I'm more troubled about last night, maybe, than I am about almost anything in the last decade. Now, this morning, I co-hosted with Sean Sharif, and we had a ball, by the way, with Jason Garrett
great
and more.
Great stuff. Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and we need to get to the Garrett interview in a minute. But Sean's thinking, is that the worst of the Garrett era? Is that the most disappointing, the most signature loss, the most painful? And I'm thinking, Sean, you probably have to go Google yourself, because maybe you have one of those every year. Maybe you think that every year. But I'm so troubled by the idea that we're going to run no matter what, that our justification is, well, we did throw it 46 times, as Jason said to it this morning. That's not justification.
No.
You got if it took a 47 throw to win, then you throw.
Well, I'll tell you this too.
You already threw.
Like, what I don't like is, Mike, that lets him ignore the reason you threw it 46 times was because of your 16 first down runs.
So you couldn't run.
That's why you had to throw it 46 times, because you insisted on getting to second and 10 and third and 10. Like, of course you threw it 46 times because you ran it first for nothing.
Right. And so you voluntarily step into this catch-22 conundrum where, well, we're going to run it some more now because we've passed a lot. Yeah, but you passed a lot because you couldn't run. So your solution is to run some more. And then we get into the RPOs and the read options and the third option that a quarterback can have. And Jeffrey, I think you've done a good job trying to help us walk us through this. People were arguing with me all morning about what was an RPO and when was it applied. And I'm just going, you guys, I don't know. I'm not on the coaching staff, but I've got Garrett, Zeke, and Dak telling me that there was RPOs involved in that fateful drive. And then I'm suggesting that maybe either one, like Jeffrey's saying, you know what, on third and two, take the option of running out of there. Throw it. Just call a pass play. And then I would even say, and maybe this is available now, maybe it takes more maturity on the part of the quarterback, but you can have an RPO and have another option that just says, we're dumping that play. We're dumping that whole concept, and we're going to something else. Maybe a fourth-year quarterback can or cannot do that. Maybe this quarterback is ready for that. I don't know. I know that we've had some fun with the idea of, hey, he should just go rogue and do whatever you want. But doing what he was asked to do in the passing game last night was brilliant in an all-time Dak way. So no problem there. Institutionalized stubbornness on the running game.
Yeah.
We're going to run it because we're a running. You don't run because you're a running team. That's thinking in a vacuum. Situationally, they should not have run the football as often as they did into a defense that, as Jerry said last night, when I asked him about his disappointment in the running game and maybe in the stubbornness too, Jerry says, I give Mike Zimmer, old friend of the Cowboys, I give Mike Zimmer credit. He basically came into AT&T Stadium and hung up a sign saying, we're not going to let Zeke run. And what he was trying to say is, I think, if the other team's going to hang up that sign saying no to blue, then you better do red. No to up, then you better do down. No to left, then you better do right. And this coaching staff did not do that. Institutionalized stubbornness.
Fish, I think the scary part, and maybe this is why Jerry Jones was so disappointed, is it kind of felt like everybody in the offseason after they fired Scott Linehan was like, Scott Linehan's the problem. This will all change, the stubbornness at times. And here's a big game on Sunday Night Football against a playoff contender. And if you would have told me that the offensive coordinator was Scott Linehan last night, I would have said, yeah, you're probably right. So we know that it must not be mostly Scott Linehan. It was mostly Jason Garrett.
Okay, my contention has been, and I thought, Mike, that Garrett helped us confirm this. For the first time on the record, for attribution, Kellen Moore is the play caller. And then Jason Garrett is involved, obviously, in the overseeing of the entire process and involved on Sundays, too. But make no mistake, Kellen Moore is the one that said, let's run that play. There's no, and that play. Garrett said it. Some people, by the way, are saying, uh-oh, that's coach throwing coach under the bus. I don't see it that way at all. I just think it was a you know what? Maybe I just asked a damn good question. How about that? And got a very revealing answer for the first time on this subject. It doesn't mean there's a crack in the that there's an earthquake coming in terms of the relationship on the coaching staff. It's not guys throwing each under the bus. It's just honest. So, Michael, I think that what people struggled with is that somehow all of a sudden we're going to run triple reverse left-handed passes. But, oh, by the way, they ran that last night and looked stupid doing it.
Hey, I'm all for, you know, if Kellen Moore is a part of the problem, then I'm all for that. But I would just hesitate to do that considering how consistent it's been, what Mike just talked about, from Linehan to Moore. You know, we don't get the feeling that they're doing what they want to do, but that Garrett's having a heavy influence. We can't prove either way. So I would just say whoever is responsible for this level of play calling, you know, needs to be eliminated as quickly as possible. And, Fish, I have no confidence that over the final 7 games and going into a hypothetical playoff situation, they would adjust their game plan at all. Whatever they've been doing in the first 9 games is going to be the plan moving forward. And because of that, I have little faith in their ability to win this division. And if they do somehow win the division because Philly messes up more, they're going to be dead men walking once we get to the playoffs with game plans like this.
I would, if I'm a Cowboy fan, I want that opportunity. I want to go into the playoffs, and I want my crack
sure.
at it.
Yeah, let's see it.
They're
good enough to win either 4 or 5 of their remaining games. They could very well do that. They've won a lot of regular season games.
They're at the same level with these other teams. And, Gavin, this isn't a defense.
Not with the Saints.
Cowboys. Huh?
Not with the Saints, not with the Packers, not with the Patriots.
Well, yeah, they're like 2 points – 2 points worse than the Saints. So is there a big gap between the two? They're 4 points worse than the Vikings. Here we go to Detroit. Detroit's on a level here. Chicago can be on a level here. The Bills are on a level here.
Now we're talking about teams similar to the Cowboys.
That's
Detroit,
what I'm saying.
Chicago, Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, those teams are making the same kind of mistakes that these teams are making, that this team's making, which is why they're on the same level. But my argument with what the Cowboys have done here, I guess it's not so specific to play calling because, I don't know, maybe it was a good play call. Maybe it just didn't work, or Travis Frederick didn't block it well or whatever. But the philosophy of saying we're a running team, and you can put up a sign saying we're not going to let you run, and your response is we're going to run over your sign.
Yeah.
and then for 3.5 quarters you can't do it, and you just keep on doing it. Because here's where Jeffrey and I kind of wrestle with this sometimes. Running on first down is not bad. Not automatically bad. Right, Jeffrey?
Now, once you've established that regardless of the numbers in the box, and we've tried this 5 to 8 times, and they are beating us at this, and we are getting 2 yards a pop, and we can throw it really well. To do it 10 more times after that, that's unacceptable.
Right. The proof that running isn't bad was in that very game. It was just the team in purple. Didn't the Vikings have a drive where they ran 10 straight times?
They did.
That's unbelievable in this NFL.
The goal is to get first downs and to score points and to avoid third down. If running the ball can help you do that, then by all means run the ball. But it was not going to happen for the Cowboys.
And so there were missed tackles, of course. It wasn't just offensive play calling or offensive goofing up. There were missed tackles. Sean used the word emasculated. Now, I don't know why. It excited him so much. He used it like 100 times this morning.
Sharif
got emasculated. Yeah, Sean Sharif.
Okay.
Sean Lee.
And they did get pushed around. They did have a halfback in Delvin Cook finishing runs, so Cowboys linebackers ended up going flying backwards. It's also bothersome that they lost a game that might be, as Sean put it this morning, Jason Garrett's signature loss, when that might have been Dak Prescott's signature success.
It's the lowest moment since the Packers game in 2010. You know, you talk about how expectations lead to suffering. We were thinking Super Bowl at AT&T Stadium that year, and it ended horribly. And whenever your expectations get that high, it has the potential to send you so much lower.
Mm. And it does take you on a roller coaster. Hey, listen, it's third and seven. Dak Prescott's not supposed to get it on third and seven, is he?
Absolutely.
Third and seven is not a very convertible down, but it was last night, time and time and time again. And how do you get to third and seven, Jeffrey?
You run on first down for 0 yards and then maybe run again for three.
Yeah, so even the good news of third and seven conversions is actually bad news.
All right, Fish, we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Salute.
He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. We're live at Boomer Jack's Western Center here in Fort Worth. And Fish reflecting what a lot of people are feeling right now. It's quite a bit of frustration and, you know, questions about why they were so stubborn. It's exactly what we made fun of the Seahawks for last year in the wild card game. It's like, guys, it wasn't running. Why in key situations in the fourth were you trying to run? They tried to run. The Cowboys won. They're such idiots.
I know. It was awesome. We won a playoff game because of it.
Yes. Okay. Baseball nuggets are coming up next.
I tell you what, I have a lot of directions I want to go, but man, Cowboy fans, if you're a Ranger fan, what if you treated the Cowboys like the Rangers? Wouldn't Jerry Jones be a better general manager if we did?
Check out Bill Dickinson's group of dealerships, DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi at MobMitsu.com, and of course, SouthwestKia.com.
Broadcasting live from Boomer Jackson, Fort Worth at Western Center, it is the G-Bag Nation, where you can stop by and pick up a back window Tolo decal. Here's Mike with some baseball nuggets.
Yeah, I'm going to include baseball here because it is baseball nugget time, but I want to kind of stick on the Cowboys, and here's the great deal about right now. Radio.com, you can listen to us. We have the rewind button, and I don't want to go kind of off of the main story today, which is the Dallas Cowboys losing and putting themselves in a pretty tough situation with seven games to go. They still have a chance to win the division and make the playoffs, but I think we know there's zero chance that they're going to the Super Bowl and doing anything special this year, which we were really hoping for. And it got me thinking. The other day, if you weren't there, anniversary at Texas Live, we had a great time. And we had Jalen Smith there. And we had a Super Bowl champion and a Hall of Famer there in Charles Haley. Now, he's not a Hall of Famer, but we had Jim Jeffcoat, who's a champion. He's a champion Dallas Cowboy. He can show you a finger with a ring on it saying, I played for a championship organization called the Dallas Cowboys. And Jalen Smith is there, and he is a great person and a solid NFL player. As much as I'm taking shots at the Cowboys, look, he's a solid NFL player. He doesn't make every play that we'd hope he makes, but solid guy, solid player. And he had a line around the freaking building to meet Jalen Smith. And Jalen Smith was like, look, I'm not signing autographs. I don't have to sign autographs. Why? Because I'm a Dallas Cowboy, and we are the greatest thing in the world of sports. We are the current Dallas Cowboys. We are so popular that I will have lines out the window for my average team and my average play and my average everything. And there's Willie Calhoun also next to him. So here's where I bring in Rangers. Willie Calhoun was the best hitter in the second half for the Texas Rangers. Willie Calhoun showed signs of being a possible all-star, just like Jalen Smith has shown signs of being a possible Pro Bowler. Maybe he did make it last year after people dropped out. I can't remember. So he was a fake Pro Bowler last year. So if 20 people dropped out of the All-Star game, you know, Willie would have a chance to make it too if he had to make a second All-Star team the way they have to make a second Pro Bowl team.
Willie lost his gut too.
Yeah, and Willie's worked. And so for Willie Calhoun at our Fanniversary, there's like 3 to 5 people there that are kind of in line. They want it, and he's signing his autograph. He's having conversations with people, and other people are coming up. There's kind of a constant you know, 3 to 5 people there. But for you know, Jalen Smith, you have to wait 30 minutes to take a picture with Jalen Smith at our Fanniversary deal. And so here's where I'm going with this. What if, and I know this will never happen because it's the Dallas Cowboys, what if we treated Jalen Smith the way we treated Willie Calhoun? What if we treated the Dallas Cowboys the way we treated the Rangers and the Mavericks and the Stars? And I know this will never happen. You think Jerry Jones would sit on his butt and do nothing if that's how we treated his average players? That we're like, hey, you know, I mean, if you want to give us your autograph, we'll take it, and we would like to meet you. We're pulling for you there. We're not showing up because you're an average team, but you know, we've created this monster that there doesn't have to be any change to our most popular favorite team in our Metroplex.
Yes, I think you're right, Mike. I think we do maybe treat them quite a bit more like the Rangers after a bad year, and that's why they've been going back and forth so much.
Yeah.
And I think it's real. Greg Hardy told us about it, and we didn't like Greg Hardy at the time, so we denied it, just like we deny things when T.O. talked about the predictability 12 years ago. But, you know, there's players willing to talk about this kind of stuff and how the Cowboys just make you feel like, hey, it's all going to be okay. You made it. You're a Cowboy. Enjoy life. It's not supposed to be so stressful.
Yeah, I guess it's tough because I'm throwing this out here, and I know it's not going to happen. It's not even going to come close to happening.
No.
But if we treated these players, this organization, the way we treated our other 3 to 4 major organizations in our Metroplex, they would try harder to be more of a winner because they would know if we don't win, we don't make money. They don't show up. We have problems getting big contracts for our pretty good players. But in this situation, there's really, to me, I look at it, and there's a lack of motivation for the Jones family, for the coaching staff, for the players to actually be the best coach, the best general manager, the best owner, the best running back, the best whatever that they could possibly be, because they can't make any more money. They can't be any more popular because we have made them out to be superheroes when they're not that special.
We did a story about this a couple of years ago, how, you know, winning is no longer incentivized in football. They've created a business plan that's immune to it. So now the biggest threat to your business isn't losing games. It's other stuff. And the entire organization and many organizations across football have this same problem where they're sort of intoxicated and unfocused because the money is so good. And it's so easy to be average.
Yeah.
The way the salary cap and the draft is set up, you can be average and feel like, wow, we might have a chance to make a run this year with a very minimal level of effort.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be scared of losing because your money's not going away if you lose.
And that's what takes me to the Rangers. Right now, going back to baseball nuggets, if the Rangers don't show progress quickly in that new stadium that is awesome and the team's value has gone up a whole bunch, I guarantee you when Forbes comes out next year, the value of the team will go up $500 million to like $700 million because of they have a brand new stadium and it created a buzz about the team, which created more money coming into the stadium. But that'll go away quickly because us fans – The baseball fan / you know, also Cowboy fans will say, no, I'm not. They're average. Who am I going to go see? And so I look at it and go, the Rangers know. The ownership and the general manager and the players. The players know. Like, if we don't do great, we're going to lose the quick kind of, like, excitement that we're going to have in 2020. If we don't show up and play good baseball, we're going to lose it. And just there's really no incentive for the Cowboys to ever say they're going to lose it when Stephen Jones comes on. And I'm glad he comes on and Jerry Jones comes on. I'm glad they come on the fan. But there's no reason to really be frustrated or to really be like, I'm sick of it too. Because why? Because our team is worth over $5 billion. What are we really sick of? It's disappointing we lost, but you guys sold out the building. Everybody in Dallas-Fort Worth watched that game last night. Heck, going back to a few weeks ago on Sunday Night Football, it's just interesting watching the news, you know, against the Philly game that people were almost dying, and luckily nobody did. But they're like, yeah, we couldn't even hear the sirens going off in our neighborhood because we were so invested in the Dallas Cowboy game that we didn't know there were high winds and tornadoes a few feet or yards or a mile or so away from us because we were so invested in the Cowboys. That's how invested we are. We don't even know a freaking tornado's about to hit our house.
No, you're right, man. I mean, it's really difficult dynamics, I think, to overcome. It goes to managing success.
Yeah.
You know, teams that have the tremendous amount of success, the Red Sox, the Cubs, and baseball come to mind.
Yeah.
Where the next year, it's like all these new dynamics get introduced. The problem is with the Cowboys roster goes into that championship managed success mode without even having to win. Just making the playoffs puts them in this spot that reaches up and grabs some of the best rosters in all of sports and makes them average for a year until they go back and get focused.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, guys, that was BS. We were at each other's throats and our egos got out of control. We got to refocus now. You know, we got to remember all that stuff that made us a champion. It's happening to the Eagles right now. You know? But
throw the Rams maybe in there too. And maybe they made some bad personnel decisions on offensive line. But, yeah, I mean, teams that really had success, like I'm talking make it to the Super Bowl, you know, all we were really hoping for this year, Jerry Jones, was that you'd make it to an NFC championship game. Mm-hmm. That was going to keep your coach for the next 5 years. And, you know, I mean, it can still happen, but it ain't going to happen. You can keep dreaming up, you know, scenarios. I can say, hey, the Rangers have a chance to go to the World Series this year. It ain't happening, but I guess we can say it because there's like a 1% chance of it happening. So –
they can win the NFC East, and then anything's possible, Mike.
Yeah,
that's where it is.
As long as, you know, the other teams play really bad and don't care about our run game, we might win. Now, here I do have a baseball nugget. The general managers' meetings are happening right now in Arizona, I believe. So there could be some movement this week, and here's where I want to go with my one kind of baseball nugget. The LA Dodgers are looking to possibly move Joc Pederson. They have a little bit of depth issue in their outfield.
You got anything left? Is he getting old on us yet?
No,
he's still not old.
He's 27, so here's where I'm looking at this. If I'm the Rangers, I would make a call to the Dodgers and see what it's going to take to get Joc Pederson. They want to get him off their books, so they don't want to take any money. They want just a prospect. He has 1 year left on his contract.
He started hitting bombs.
Yes, 36 homers. He's kind of a leadoff hitter for them at times. He's a lefty-lefty guy. So to get Joc Pederson, you have to make a lot of moves. So this is why I'm saying I don't think you can trade for Joc Pederson this week unless you know that, and getting rid is the wrong word, but you have to be able to move Mazzara. You have to be able to move Chu this offseason, or Joc Pederson doesn't make a lot of sense. He does make sense in this. Then you don't have to play Joey Gallo in center field. Joc Pederson, yes, he played the corner outfield pretty much this whole year, but he's had, over the last 3 years, he's played 300 games in center field. So he can be your center fielder. He is a good defensive player, especially on the corners, and pretty good in center field. He's a guy that does more than Nomar Mazzara does, and Nomar Mazzara is about to become a free agent. So it would be like the Dodgers getting rid of Joc Pederson, where you wouldn't have to give up a lot. Then you would kind of give up Nomar Mazzara, not to the Dodgers. They want nothing to do with Nomar Mazzara. But it'd be like multiple moves where it's like, we need Joc Pederson because he makes more sense for our organization than Nomar Mazzara does in the short term and possibly long term. But he's a guy that I'd look at. He was 249 last year with 36 homers, 74 RBIs, can play all three outfield positions. Mazzara can only really play one, and somewhat, I would say, more of a designated hitter, first baseman, possibly in his future. So just something to look out for with the meetings happening.
Has he been paid yet?
No, he has one more year left. So you'd only have him for 1 year, and then he becomes a free agent. But Nomar Mazzara is the same way.
Yeah.
Sin-Soo Chu is the same way. So I would look at Joc Pederson as more of a viable option, but you have to move. I think to get Pederson and for him to make sense for the Rangers, you'd have to move Mazzara and Chu to have Pederson make sense.
Okay, we heard Jerry talk a lot about the coaching situation and admiring Mike Zimmer and all that. How's Jason Garrett feeling? He's going to be on the podium when we get back. We'll go out to the Star there, the Ford Center at the Star. It's time for the Jason Garrett press conference.
It could be good for once.
Yeah, we're live at Boomer Jack's here, Western Center in Fort Worth. Tolo Back Window Decals. Veterans eat free. Some delicious food and beverages waiting for you if you join us here. Boomer Jack's. It is a bummer show here with the Cowboys losing, though. We'll be back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.